This is Scott Berguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and we are talking again to Leah Bolger from Corvallis. She's a member of Veterans for Peace, and on the 19th day of her fast as part of the Troops Home Fast. Hello, Leah.
Hi, Scott.
It's really good to talk to you again, and I was wondering, because it's been over a week, I think, maybe more, since we talked the first time, and I hadn't heard anything, and apparently you are still cruising along on this fast.
I am. This day 19 without a break, and frankly, you know, it's really been not that difficult. The first 5 days were hard for me personally because I had a lot of headaches, but that has cleared up, and I feel pretty good. I really do. A lot of my friends and people I was running into were saying they were worried about me, and so I did go see my doctor about 3 or 4 days ago, and she took my vital signs, and I thought maybe she'd want to take a blood sample or something, and she said no, it really wasn't necessary, and that she said unless I felt some specific symptoms like palpitations, heart palpitations, or nausea, or vomiting, or diarrhea, then I really I could go as long as I felt good. And she told me that my body will let me know when it's time to stop. So my body hasn't told me that yet. But no, I still feel pretty good. And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I feel like I could go a while longer. Although I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if it makes any difference if I fast for 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or, or whatever. I'm trying to inspire people to do something themselves, and whether it's fasting or writing a letter or demonstrating or whatever it is. So if I could. So talking to you today is a good thing because it's helping to get the word out and possibly, you know, motivating somebody who hasn't gotten involved to date. But I think we need more awareness, and we need to just get the publicity out as much as possible.
All right. So how is it going in Corvallis? Are there others that are at this point long term? I know you're doing a rolling fast. How's that all going?
Right. Well, we haven't. We've had at least one person fasting every day, and I think only one day we had two, but the rest of the days we've had 3 to 7 people fasting, and. That part's going great. We're having not really much trouble getting people to pledge to fast for 24 hours and keeping that going. My husband fasted for 5 days at the beginning in a row, and then there's one other woman who hasn't broken. She's still fasting from this is day 19 for her as well, but she is doing a Ramadan type fast from dawn to dusk.
Okay, all right.
And she has several children, and she's still nursing with her babies and stuff. So we don't want her to become ill. So she's doing that kind of fast, and that is a lot easier for some people to do. And it is a personal sacrifice to go for that long without food. So. I think that counts as well.
Well, I know from my first day of this short fast I'm on so far, on day 4 here, the first day was the worst so far. And I wouldn't want to do that every day, you know, even if I got to eat it.
I think so too. Yes. I think once it's, you know, once you're over the hump, the hard part, then I think it would be harder to eat a little bit and then try and then go a long period of time again without it. So, once you're into it, it's not that hard of a sacrifice. Although, admittedly, I still feel hunger pains, and I'm wanting food more now than I used to. So, I'm glad you're doing this interview with me, so to motivate me to keep going.
Well, what was I going to ask? I was going to ask what Are you still doing the 10 to 7? Is that what it was?
Yes. Well, we presence? Have, up until today, I mean, today, yes, we've been able to keep a public presence there at the corner of the courthouse at 4th Street in Jackson. And we've had our table set up, and we've gathered lots of signatures on three different petitions. Mm-hmm. And we have kept the presence up, but I will admit that it is getting harder to get somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, they're excited about it at first, but then, you know, that's 9 hours a day to fill for mm-hmm. 2.5 months,
right,
and
right.
It is becoming a little bit harder. So I'm considering shortening the hours to be 12 to 6,
mm-hmm.
which I think will still get almost as many people to sign up, especially if we're there every day from 12 to 6, then, you know, if somebody wants to stop by, they'll catch us, I think.
Well, would you remind us again the three petitions that you're getting?
Yes. Absolutely. One of them is called the Voters Pledge, and this is sponsored by a group called Voters for Peace, and there's a website, votersforpeace.org, and Code Pink is asking people to work on this petition, and it's a pledge that says, I pledge not to support any candidate for Congress or the presidency who doesn't make peace a priority in his or her campaign. And that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is a petition put together by the Rural Organizing Project, or ROP, and that's ROP.org, and you can read more about, it's called the Cost of War Campaign, and this, I think, is a really important thing to work on for all of the Oregonians around the state, because the Rural Organizing Project is a coalition of more than 60 small town and rural human dignity groups, peace groups, and some of them are quite small. Some of them are, you know, half a dozen people that meet in somebody's living room, but they're all concerned about the same thing. So, I believe once a year they get together for a convention, and they try to come up with one issue or one campaign that they can all focus on and put their energies into. And this is what they've come up with: is the Cost of War campaign. And so there are people all over the state gathering signatures for this petition that has specific questions about the money being spent on the war. How much have we spent? How much are we going to have to spend? And I think, really interestingly, is what programs might we have been able to fund, and what programs have we had to cut because of the war?
Mm-hmm.
So it's specific questions about the money, because it is a bit difficult to convince somebody that the war is wrong on ethical or moral grounds if they don't already think so. But when you start talking about the money, that will appeal to some people more than others. So we're hoping that there's a deadline on the petition of 31st of October that our politicians, our senators and representatives will get back to us on these specific questions about the money. And hopefully they'll adopt this as their own issue. And when they realize how much money that the government, our state government, is spending that could be spent on the benefit of the citizens of the state, perhaps some of our politicians will turn this around and make this their issue to campaign on and work for themselves. So that's the second petition. The third one is a pledge of support for Lieutenant Aaron Watada, who is the first commissioned officer to publicly refuse to go to Iraq based on the illegality of the war. And it's just a signature that says, I support what you're doing, I think it's the right thing, and I thank you for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I think, building it by giving your contact information along with your name, they're building a database of support for future actions. He's going to be going to trial in August or September, and then most likely he's going to be going to jail. And I think they're planning on organizing some future shows of support or whatever based on, you know, starting with these group of people that signed up to say, I think you're doing the right thing.
Right. Well, that's admirable, and obviously an important part of this, doing the fast, is it
mm-hmm.
creates even more of a public presence to get people to give them something they can do. It's in this case, signing petitions, and then maybe some of them will even move on to joining you in the fast or other peace efforts that
that's right.
are coming up. I'm wondering what the mood is for you and for folks there that are standing by the courthouse, and just Veterans for Peace, the folks, uh-huh. peace folks in general, because obviously this is a very challenging, dangerous time with what's going oh. on in Lebanon and Israel and the Gaza Strip and so on. And in fact, it's pushed the Iraq war off the front page in a lot of cases. And what kind of mood are you sensing, or you know, how are you feeling about this challenge, this big challenge that we have here?
Well, I vacillate between just throwing up my hands and saying, "Oh, this is too much. I can't fix anything." And but then the other end of the spectrum, thinking I have to do everything I can. And I do get a lot of people that stop by, and they want to vent, and they're so frustrated with our government and with what our policies have created, and then what looks like is the beginning of possibly the end of our world. I mean, I'm very pessimistic about what's mm-hmm. going on right now between Israel and Lebanon and Hamas and Hezbollah and Iraq and Iran and Syria, and all of that is really, really worrisome, and I don't feel very optimistic about it. But I do feel that, you know, continuing the path that we're continuing and continuing to kill people and occupy their country in Iraq is not a positive thing, and I don't think we will ever be seen as a helpful presence from the other side at this point. You know, we are occupiers right now, and this is I think there's a parallel between what Israel is doing in Lebanon by invading that country. They are going to be seen as occupiers by doing this, and they're not being welcomed as liberators from Hezbollah. You know, it's a sovereign nation, and they have breached that sovereignty. And I think this is very, very difficult. But most of the people that stop by, and I do think it's important to keep the public presence going, because we have had a number of people that just, they saw the sign, or they say, "Oh, I drive by this all the time, and I need to find out what you're doing," or the Veterans for Peace, the flag. We had one fellow that stopped by the other day who's from Florida, and he was just in town visiting some friends, but he's a Veteran for Peace member in Florida, and he stopped by and to support us. And so most people are... They're frustrated that they feel like they can't do anything, but most people still want to at least sign a petition or do as much as they think they can. So we're going to keep trying. I mean, doing nothing gets you nothing. And I just feel like we have to do something.
Right. Doing nothing, you just end up frustrated. And at least if you do something, you can be doing something while you're frustrated.
That's right.
Okay, so... you're obviously personally on an open-ended fast here, and you can just kind of see how it goes.
Right. I never thought I would go this long when I started, but as long as I can see that it's being productive and it's doing something, mm-hmm. I'll go until I just don't feel well or whatever. But I still feel good, and I can't complain. In fact, I feel a little bit selfish about breaking the fast as long as I feel good, because I think, well, you know, nobody else has done it that long in our town, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe I can inspire more people by keeping it going. And to break it now just because I want to eat, or you know, stuff looks really good to me, and I will admit that I see a lot of stuff that looks terrific, so I think, oh, maybe that's kind of a selfish thing to do, to break it now when I don't feel like I have to physically break it now. So I don't know.
Well, that's obviously part of the struggle with fasting, and you know, trying to decide, unless you just say from the beginning, I'm going to do it for this many days, and then mm-hmm. it's going to end. How's the media coverage going? Are you if I were to drive up to Corvallis tomorrow and just start stopping people on the street and ask them if they knew about it, you have a sense of how many people would know that this is going on?
Yeah, I think, well, because it's such a public place. I think probably most people will have heard something about it, but we could definitely use more publicity. I've talked to our local paper, the Corvallis Gazette Times, and they are short-staffed during the summer, and mm-hmm. I'm hoping that the reporter that did our first article, she's coming back from Mexico tomorrow, and I'm hoping she'll do a follow-up article on us. We did get some interest from a television station in Eugene, but they have not, I mean, they just spoke to us on the phone and they didn't have any kind of a segment on us. So, yes, we could use more. We could definitely use more publicity. I would say that, for the most part, people probably know something about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think most people know that I haven't broken it yet, mm-hmm. and that if that is significant, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or whatever, but maybe that would sway some people if they knew that one person hasn't broken the fast mm-hmm. at all. So I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll all keep working on it, I guess.
Huh? Well, thanks.
Trying to get the word out. Okay, well, thank you, Leah. As always, I appreciate being able to talk to you and hear, get an update of what's going on in Corvallis. I think it's important for folks to hear not just about this campaign, but to hear as many examples as possible of folks that are trying to do something.
That's right.
Trying
That's
to create
right.
Some momentum towards ending the war.
Uh-huh. Well, I appreciate your help with getting the word out. And I did want to mention a couple other things,
uh-huh.
If you don't mind. You can always edit this. But this evening in Corvallis, we're hosting a couple of fellows that George Mann and Julius Margolin. And George Mann is a filmmaker, and Julius Margolin has been a labor union organizer since the 1930s. He's 89 years old now, and his whole life has been dedicated to the working man and human rights. And they George made a documentary film about Julius's life, and they travel around the country and they show the film, and then they have a Q&A session, and then they sing these old protest songs and labor organizing songs, and they also write their own music, and they have some more topical subjects of their songs that they sing as well. And so it's tonight at 8 o'clock at our Oddfellows Hall in Corvallis, and it's a benefit to raise money for our South Corvallis Food Bank.
All right.
So that's one thing. And then the second thing, which is more in line with the peace theme of the fast, is there is a group of veterans who are riding bicycles from Eugene to Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of weeks it's going to take them, I believe, but they're trying to get to Seattle for the Veterans for Peace National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the riders are disabled. One is a double amputee, and he rides a hand cycle. That's Brian Wilson, and he is a fairly famous peace activist from a long time ago. Anyway, Corvallis is their first stop, and they're starting at Eugene, and they'll be here on Tuesday the 25th, and we're going to have a big community potluck for them, and then a discussion forum to talk about sustainability and how the links between exploitation of the environment leads to violence and war, and how our society will never be a peaceful one until we become more sustainable, and that's the tie they're trying to talk about. So their right is to raise awareness on how we need to get away from oil, and we need to be more conscious about how when we use these natural resources, it's not good for our society or our environment. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. Thank you for sharing that. I know I was talking to somebody earlier today. These folks are, as you said, starting in Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Tuesday.
Right.
I think. And you did say they're going to be in Corvallis on Tuesday.
Right. Okay. They'll get here in the afternoon on Tuesday the 25th,
okay.
And then they'll be leaving early on the 26th to try to beat the heat.
All right.
And I know they have stops all along the way up to Seattle, so...
All right. Sounds great. You don't happen to know if there's a website or some way to contact them?
Yes, I do. I know that veterans, if you go to veteransforpeace.org,
okay,
that is the main Veterans for Peace website, and then there is a a window for the bike ride that's
okay
on that site.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. You're a wealth of information and inspiration.
Thanks for the interview, Scott, and good luck to you on your fast.
Okay, hopefully we will talk again.
Okay.
All right.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, bye, Leah.
Bye-bye.
I was talking to Leah Bolger of Veterans for Peace and Alternatives to War in Corvallis, Oregon. Leah's on her 19th day on this day, Saturday, July 22nd, 2006, 19th day of her fast as part of Troops Home Fast. You can get more information about the fast at troopshomefast.org. Leah also shared with us several other websites that have of interest. One is votersforpeace.org. That's votersforpeace.org. There you can sign on a pledge to not vote for anyone who is not working for peace and an end to the Iraq War. Also, ROP.org, that's Rural Organizing Project, at ROP.org for folks in Oregon or people in other states that might have interest in what they're about. That is on the Cost of War campaign in the state of Oregon. And then finally, for information about Veterans for Peace and the Bicycle Ride for Peace that they are going to start next week, you can go to veteransforpeace.org. That's veteransforpeace.org.